Part 2, Chapter 5, Mischiefs and Mishaps. The radio station project was moving along well. The studio building was up, and Roland and the other men were working hard to complete the inside work as quickly as possible. The next job on the list was the erection of the 350-foot tower. But many obstacles were connected with that project, mainly the need of electric poles and lines to the antenna site. The electric company kept saying, "Next week." We were also asking the Lord to strengthen Henry Hungerpiller to come supervise that important job. He had recently been ill with shingles. Meanwhile, down at the ranch, on the home front, things were happening with the family. We had moved across town to a place with a lot of pluses. A big plus was the fact that the house was much nearer to the radio station. Another plus was the big yard. A few other creatures were making their home in the yard. A horse, a donkey, a kid or baby goat, a dog, and a cat. The children and I were keeping busy at our one-room school, which was in full gear. All the children were progressing quite well in their ACE, or Accelerated Christian Education, work. We were quite pleased with what they were learning. Every subject was interlaced with Christian values, biblical principles, and Bible study. The Johnsons' two sons had joined our school, so we had 6 students at the time. Our favorite and only daughter, Becky, was a blessing to us and to everyone she met. She used her artistic talents at every opportunity. The Antiguan girls liked to visit with her and learn how to knit, crochet, embroider, etc. She also tried her hand at doing chalk talks. Her first public chalk talk was done at the girls' class I held in our home each week. She also helped teach Sunday school and was involved in winning people to the Lord during church visitation. Randy enjoyed anything connected with sports. He was a good swimmer and loved to go snorkeling and diving in the sea. He found some beautiful big starfish, 8 to 10 inches across. He cleaned them and varnished them, even sold one of them to an Antiguan. One of our neighbors allowed the boys to ride their horse, and Randy and Tony both enjoyed riding. The horse got Randy into a bit of trouble, though. The horse went under a low tree to avoid running over a cow lying in the pasture, and a branch of the tree caught Randy in the head. He arrived at home with blood pouring down his back. I could see Randy needed stitches in his head, but Roland had the car at the radio station. Thankfully, the hospital was only a couple of blocks up the hill from our house, so we walked. Randy had to have 5 stitches in his scalp without an anesthetic. Worse than that, he says, were the 5 penicillin injections he had to have. He proved that to me when he had the first injection. He was feeling weak after the doctor finished sewing up his head. We had to go to another location in the hospital to get the injection and wait in a long line of people needing injections. I told Randy to sit down, and I would stand in line for him. When I was almost at the head of the line, I turned around to call him to come in line. But there was no Randy to be seen. I could not believe it. Where was that boy? When I could not find Randy anywhere, I concluded that he had gone home. I walked back down the hill to our house, and there he was. You can be sure I was not happy with him. "Randy," I said, "you must have that injection to prevent infection, so come along." We're going back up the hill and take care of that problem. Randy reluctantly followed me back up to the hospital and was given the injection. Tony was our frisky fellow. He took after his mischievous daddy. He was our gardener and liked to help me with our flower garden. He enjoyed the horse, too, but he also liked to ride bikes. That is what got him into trouble. He swung out a bit onto the highway in front of our house to turn into our gate when a little Mazda pickup truck zoomed up behind him and hit him. The driver swerved into the fence to avoid hitting him, but Tony got the back of his leg badly bruised. We thanked the Lord for protecting him from more serious injury. Then there was Jonathan, everybody's friend, always busy. When he was 7 years old, he was entertaining his friends in the treehouse in our backyard when he had his accident. His grandmother had given him a Superman suit. He liked to put on the cape and pretend he was flying like Superman. The boys had tied a rope on one of the tree limbs so they could swing on it. Jonathan decided to come down the rope instead of the usual way, not realizing it had not been tied securely. And down he came, rope and all, kerplunk. I heard the silent plop from inside the house, and my heart stopped. But we praise the Lord, his only injury was a cut tongue and a green stick fracture on his leg, a splintered place on his shin bone or tibia. He had to stay off that leg for quite a while. Roland made him some little crutches, and he got around fine. We called him Tiny Tim. Jonathan also had some accidents with his bike. At one time, he skidded on a gravel road, fell, and hit his head. He had a concussion and was unconscious for a while. The doctor held him overnight in the emergency room for observation. I stayed with him, sleeping in an outdoor lounge chair, though I did not get much sleep. The room was very dark, with unpainted cement walls. Not a pleasant place to be. His bed was a bit narrow, and I was afraid he would roll over and fall off. I think the nurse only checked on him once or twice all night. Another time, Jonathan rode his bike down a steep hill near our house when the chain came off his bike. His body skidded down the road, giving him many bad scrapes on his skin. He was quite miserable for a few days. The Lord's guardian angels had to work overtime with our boys. I wondered at times if I would survive raising three sons. We just rejoiced to know we were all in God's hands. Even the children realized this. We discussed it with them and mentioned that they could have been killed, and Jonathan said, "That would be all right. We get to go to heaven first." The Lord used 5-year-old Jonathan to lead us to one of our first staff members for the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. He got acquainted with some of the neighbor children and their families. When Roland mentioned to our family he was looking for someone to do some welding jobs for the radio station, Jonathan piped up, "I know somebody, Daddy. Mike's daddy does welding." So that is how we got to know the David family. Later, during special meetings at our church, Jonathan invited the Davids to come to church with us. Mrs. David, or Jean, received the Lord as her Savior during those meetings. Many months after that, she volunteered to help me grade Bible lessons for our Bible correspondence course, and eventually she joined our staff. All our children were involved with inviting neighbor children to the weekly Bible club I held in our home. As many as 60 children crowded into our living room to sing, memorize Bible verses, and listen to Bible stories and God's plan of salvation. Many made professions of faith in the Lord as their Savior. What a blessed opportunity that was.